podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, it's the first hour on our LFC Women, and we've been doing post-match shows straight after all the games, well, most of the games this season. We struggled a little bit on Sunday with the doubleheader. So instead, we thought to do a little bit of a round, but obviously we'll touch on Sunday night winner as well. And to help me out with that, I've got Joe Goodall, I've got Emma Sanders, I've got Neil Atkinson, I've got Philippa Smallwood, and I've got Leon Prescott. Hello, everyone. Well,
Hello.
So, we'll start with the weekend. And Emma, before the game, you were bigging up. You were calling it a must win. mustn't lose, at least. And the Reds did the business for you.
Yeah, they certainly did. It was a great result. I think the reason why I thought it was a must win was, obviously, I think we'll go into this, but it's just getting so tight at the top of that table. And I think, you know, before the game, we drew against Lewes, we drew against Durham, we'd lost to Leicester. And I just thought, you know, we can't not come away without 3 points in this game, because, you know, we could have quite easily fallen. I think it would have been 6 points off the top then. So we really needed to kind of keep up with the pack. So that was, for me, why it was so important, was to just kind of show the other teams in and around that sort of top battle that Liverpool is still there, they still mean business, and they're still the team to beat.
You could tell it was a big game from the way they set out, Joe. It was a fast start from Liverpool, wasn't it? Even before the goal, they looked right at it, Liverpool women.
Yeah, absolutely. Just watching them, they knew that they needed to go out there and show that they can win games, they can score goals. You know, we've seen from a few games in the past, especially against Lewes, we should have really won that game. You know, we took the lead a couple of times and we were unfortunate to get the draw at the end of it. You know, we need to stop some of the sloppy passes, some of the, you know, receiving the ball and just start getting our heads down and, you know, making them passes, making the set plays work. And I think, yeah, the start of the game was really fast-paced. They went out there and you could see that they wanted it from the off, which was good.
Yeah, absolutely. Neil wanted it from the off, didn't they? Charging, you know, into tackles, aggressive and direct as well. I couldn't believe how direct we were.
Yeah, I think that's across the board. I thought that there was four or five players there. You know, Mel Lawley in particular, when we had a conversation after the Manchester City game, we talked about a dweller on the ball at times. There was absolutely none of that in this one. She was so dynamic, so aggressive. And I think in general, you know, over the course of the whole match, you end up sort of coming away with the fact that Liverpool are a better side, they're a superior side to Sheffield United. I think in the end, Sheffield United managed to drag Liverpool into a game they don't want to be in. But ultimately, in that early period, you got to see the greater ability of the Liverpool side and the greater dynamism in the setup as well, I think, from the Reds. And, you know, Sheffield United there couldn't live with them for 25 minutes. And the big frustration was that 1-0 never went two. Because I think if 1-0 had gone two, then I think it would have ended up cruising to 3 or 4. But because they never quite get that second goal, there's never quite the level of comfort you'd like.
Yeah, I mean, it's some goal, though. I've got to say, Philippa, you know, if you're going to get one, then make it like that. I mean, I put in the notes, I don't want to disrespect the 30-foot John Aldridge that looms over you at all times at Tranmere, but I think it's the best goal ever seen at Prenton Park.
Yeah, it was a great goal. It was funny, actually, because I wasn't there yesterday, and Neil messaged me saying, like, what a great goal that is. We was actually behind on the footage, so
no different everyone. Spoilers.
There's always one.
You forget how live is, don't you?
it was a good minute behind, let me tell you.
I mean, that's a long time behind.
I had a big build up to that goal. I was like, this is going to be something.
it was a legal stream, though, wasn't it, Philippa? Definitely legal. Oh,
yeah, it was the FA player, so
that's why it was so slow.
Yeah, it's one of those things, I think, because it's streaming rather than being like live coverage, so to speak. It's just that little bit behind, but it was an absolutely fantastic goal. And, you know, we've seen a few times this season that Babajedi's got that inner, you know, and it's that unpredictableness of a play, I think. You never quite know what she's going to do. You know, and that can sometimes be a little bit frustrating as well. But, you know, she's clearly got the ability there to be able to do that on a regular basis. And, you know, it's something that I think she needed as well. You know, I think she struggled a little bit recently. Just getting that little bit of confidence, hopefully will take her into the next few games and, you know, help her to you know, be the catalyst for the team that I think she needs to be at the moment. I think it's something that I would maybe criticise a little bit with this side is we're not really getting enough goals, you know, and we need more players to be chipping in with them. But I think if we have somebody like Rinsola, you know, charging at defences and weaving in and out of players like she did do for that goal, then it's all good.
It wasn't just the goal, was it, Leanne? I thought they just couldn't live with her generally, especially in that opening period. You know, she was terrifying, that poor fullback.
Yeah, I mean, this is what you get from Babajida. I think Philip is right. Sometimes she's a little bit unpredictable and it can be frustrating, but that burst of pace, the ability and the directness she's got in her game is something that Liverpool really needed. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Sheffield had the best defence going into that game. And she takes out five defenders in one and makes them look, you know, really, really average. It's just like the oddest thing. But no, I think she's a great player. I think last season it was always a case of I wanted to see more of her. And it was Courtney Sweetman-Kirk who seemed to get the nod in a lot more, probably because she was a little bit more kind of stable. But it is that kind of spark, that energy that you need in a game like this. And, you know, second half, it's all about grinding it out. And I think that's kind of what impressed me most. We can talk about the goal and how impressive it was. But one of the things we've seen from Liverpool this season is, you know, they take the lead and then they take their foot off the gas. There were missed chances, maybe should have gone 2-0 up. The keeper makes a great save at the other end as well. But the way they see it out second half, it becomes a massive fight, and that's credit to Sheffield United. But to get the 3 points, I think, is massive, and it's a great moment for Babajide as well.
In terms of other positives, especially from that early period, Becky Jane back at right back. You were telling me how much you liked her during the game, so why not tell everyone now?
Yeah, I just think, you know, we've been talking there about the unpredictability of Babajide, and Becky Jane is probably the most consistent player, I think, that Liverpool have got in that side, or certainly, you know, up there in that group of consistent players. And she was really important for us last season in that fullback position. She brings experience, she brings composure. She is, I was saying to you, she's absolutely rapid. And there was one moment, I think it came just as I was saying how good she was as well, and it backed me up, but she basically legged it about 40, 50 metres to track back and slid in and won the ball. And that was just a clear sort of example of her just flat pace, really. She's got great acceleration and she uses that to her advantage so often, especially in the WSL, I think, last season, where she was coming up against, like, you know, a lot of pacey players. In the Championship this season, obviously, she, you know, she's had a slow start to the season because she's been out injured, so to see her back in the last two league games has been really good. And I think her going forward, Liverpool have missed. So I'd like to see her sort of making those overlapping runs from that right-back position as the season develops, with her now back in the side and fresh from injury.
Yeah, plenty more to come from, I'm sure. Big injury happens just before half time, Neil, and it's a real shame, not just because of how well Bailey's playing, but also the substitution that we choose to make, or the manager chooses to make, means putting people in positions where they sort of ended up a bit less effective.
Yeah, I think it's you know, looking back at the bench, I don't think it's an easy decision as to what the sub should actually be for the manager. So it's not so much the idea that the manager gets it wrong, but I think also within there, it's worth sort of pointing out that, you know, Bailey was absolutely running the show. I thought it was the best I'd seen her play, and I thought she was first to everything, especially in those early exchanges. By the time she goes off, the game settled into a little bit more of a conventional pattern where Liverpool are the better side, but Sheffield United are obviously a good side and they're able to put Liverpool under a little bit of pressure. And Bailey's crucial to Liverpool just being in control of the game. The injury, you know, the scream was blood-curdling, frankly, how she was. But, you know, it was very unpleasant, and I think it actually rattled teammates as well. You know, I don't think you want to see your teammate go down and go through something like that. And Liverpool, I think, firstly, they just struggled with that a little bit, but then the knock-on effect was players who were playing in certain positions in certain areas of the pitch were just dragged out of those positions, and it ended up being sort of three changes to accommodate that. And as I say, I completely understand why. And I understand why, for instance, you know, the manager's go-to there is Furness, because she could see that that centre midfield battle was where Liverpool were winning the game. So the idea of putting your best player there for a period of time makes, you know, makes absolute sense as far as I'm concerned. But it just meant that therefore you didn't have Furness higher up the pitch, which therefore knocked on to the effectiveness of the wide players either side of her, that then knocked on to the effectiveness of Threstrup. And the whole thing was just this, that became this sort of problem for the team, and they just never quite are able to re sort of impose themselves after that point. And as I say, I think this is hugely testament to exactly how good Jade Bailey was. As I say, I think it was in the midst of being her performance of the season, as far as I was concerned. And she was the game's dominant force, really. So it was the knock-on effect, as you say, John, but it was also just simply losing the best player on the pitch at that stage of the proceedings.
Yeah. Second half, Joe, Sheffield United come out really strong. They're notably more aggressive, I think, in terms of how they're looking to play and also sort of get a grip of the game. Do you think Liverpool could have done more in that half, or have you just got to, you know, accept sometimes that when you're playing against the team who are towards the top of the table like Liverpool, that they're going to have good spells and you've just sort of got to deal with it?
Yeah, I mean, like you said earlier, it's one of them. In the Championship, we're going to come up against teams that are going to, you know, go out, it's dog eat dog world in the Championship. It's not as easy as what people think it is. You know, the Sheffield came out all guns blazing and wanted to try and, you know, get another goal to equalise. And whether we could have done more to try and get a second goal to take that lead a bit further, I don't know. For me, you know, Liverpool seem to start holding the ball up a little bit more. Sometimes it's one of them. You've just kind of got to do that so that you're not tiring yourself out running around, losing the ball, trying to chase the ball and win it back.
Yeah, Joe's right there, Philippe. We did struggle to sort of keep it sometimes, and you just felt like if we could have took the sting out the game that way. I thought Threstrup was really good. First half was holding the ball up really well, but sort of found it more difficult as the game went on. Obviously, the change comes, but I don't know whether it's tough, isn't it? Because you don't want to sort of, you know, criticize the tactics too much, because we did have a couple of chances on the break as well. And if we put one of them in, you're like, oh, brilliant, we've sucker punched them, counter attacking, you know. So the proof's sort of in how it ends up going sometimes, really.
Yeah, I kind of expected us to fall away a little bit in the second half. You know, you kind of hope that you're going to have more than a one goal lead to be able to take the pressure off a little bit more than what it was, I think, in the second half. But, you know, I think playing Man City midweek, that definitely has an impact. You know, we saw when we played Man United and we got that fantastic result against them, and then we go away to Leicester at the weekend and we were dead on our feet after about half an hour in that game. And I expected us to have a similar impact yesterday, although it wasn't as big because we did make a few changes midweek in the second half, which I think definitely helped. But, you know, these are the sort of games that I think last season we definitely wouldn't have held on there. We would have succumbed to that sort of pressure that Sheffield United were putting us under. And I think it's something that I've found really pleasing about Liverpool so far this season, is how resilient we've looked. I know we've conceded, you know, when we've been ahead in some of the away games, but I think at home especially, we've looked pretty good. After the first game, you know, that Durham game, I think it really showed us what sort of a struggle this season was going to be. You know, we're not going to be battering teams every week. It is literally going to be grinding results out. And it basically is all aimed at that end result of getting promotion at the end of the season. And it doesn't matter how you do it. It doesn't matter if you're going out there and you're beating teams 4 or 5 nil every week. You know, we would all love that. But at the end of the day, these are tough sides. They're used to playing in this league. They're used to winning, you know, because when we were in the WSL last season, obviously we weren't used to winning games. And you need to get that back into your armour as well. And I think it's something that we've done pretty well. You know, it's been a decent start. And it gives us a good platform, I think, for the rest of the season. I think that's what all this is about. You know, just giving us a chance at this point is the main thing.
I think Philippa makes a good point, Dele Alli, in terms of, you know, you can look at the game and think, well, Liverpool maybe could have done a bit better second half and stem the flow a little bit. Or you can say, well, actually, you know, Sheffield United were always going to have a spell, and what they probably should have done is to score more than once when they were on top.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, we've touched on it before, but, you know, Liverpool haven't scored a massive amount of goals this season. I think that says more about the league than anything. If you're looking down the table, a lot of teams are pretty similar in terms of goals scored. So I think it's just the nature of the league. You know, it's not the WSL where you see 6-0s or 8-0s. It is a tight league. That's how the game's going to go. And especially second half, you know, it's such a big game. It's always going to become a bit of a fight. I think Moore, when she comes on, does such a good job at you know, controlling that midfield. Really combative. Really sets the tempo. And okay, you know, it gets a little bit scrappy at the end, but even the likes of Furness putting it in the corner, getting the players up the pitch, surrounding Sheffield United and boxing them in. I think just the way the team operated, it's something we've maybe not seen as much this season as we'd hoped to see. And it's such a big game to step up like that. I think, you know, it's really important, and it gives them a lot of confidence. A few big games coming up, maybe games you expect Liverpool to win, and then that Durham one again. Which could be a massive, massive game.
Anyway, they won. They held on and did pretty well in stoppage time. How was the manager after, Emma? Did you get a chat with her?
Yeah, I had a good chat with Vicky, and I actually raised a couple of points that we've been talking about. So I asked about Michaela Moore and her impact when she was coming on, and obviously Vicky was really impressed with her. She was full of praise, and what I thought was really interesting was she was talking about how she wanted Moore to come on and not get too excited in midfield. I she wanted her to just sort
That's what Neil tells me at work as well.
calm down, Gibbo. But yeah, just sort of, you know, wanting her to protect that back four and just kind of just do the job and not get drawn to all the excitement and everything sort of going on in midfield. And I thought that was exactly what Moore did. I also asked Vicky about the clean sheet, because we haven't really kept many clean sheets of late, and she was really happy with that. And yeah, she was just talking about the sort of reaction afterwards as well, of kind of the players. And, you know, she said before the game, and I know we spoke about this on the Anfield Wrap, about how she said it wasn't the biggest game that the players would have played against Sheffield. And I said, oh, I hope she G's them up for it. I was a little bit worried when she said that to me. So I was glad that kind of afterwards she did acknowledge that it you know, it was a big game. And I think that was probably more mind games with the opposition than anything. So yeah, she was buzzing, the players were buzzing. They knew how big and how important that was. They really, really did. And, you know, as Philip has said, I think just getting that winning mentality and just being able to hold on is so key. And, you know, another question I asked was about the game management. I know we were joking about it when we were sat there watching, but obviously Rachel Law's got a yellow card for time wasting. You know, and I sort of shouted over and said, yeah, take one for the team. And, you know, there was a couple of other incidences where they, you know, they were taking it ages to do throw-ins, and they were doing everything right, which last season they didn't really have the leaders or the experience in the side to do that. And that was something that I think Vicky was really, really pleased about. And again, Rachel Laws, the goalkeeper, was another one that she pointed out for that experience and just that kind of game management mentality that Liverpool needed.
I think in general, you know, coming away from the game, a couple of little things. One was Vicky's reaction to the final whistle, where she absolutely leapt onto the pitch in absolute delight, and I was pleased to see that, to be honest with you. You know, I think she almost decapitated Mel Lawley going past her there after the final whistle, and I think that told you a little bit of the story. But I think in general, sometimes games happen to you. And this is one of those games where it starts off and it's Liverpool happening to the game, and then with the injury to Bailey, and with the fact that, you know, in general in this league at the minute, what Joe said before is absolutely spot on. It is a little dour, and I think that there's a ton of reasons for that, but it's because it is so well matched. So, for instance, lose where Liverpool drop points, you know, lose themselves. It's a 2-2 with Liverpool, but apart from that, in their other six games, you know, lose have only been involved with seven goals in their other six games. And I think that part of what this league does is that, you know, everything is so tight, it's so competitive, the prize of going up is so great. But also these games, they become remarkably trappy. So no, it's very difficult for Liverpool to get away. And, you know, I think that might well come at some point across the next couple of weeks. And within all of that as well, it's important, I think, for this group of players. You know, Sheffield United got beat 6-0 in the midweeks. I was told the match on Sunday. And they got beat 6-0 in the Continental Cup. And Liverpool came up against a much better side than Manchester City. But it's really important for the club that Liverpool don't throw those Continental Cup games. You know, they beat Manchester United a few weeks back. And for the long-term good of the club, in terms of how we talk about it, in terms of how we look at next season if they do get back up, in terms of all of it, I think it's really important that Liverpool are exceptionally competitive with Manchester United, Manchester City and Everton. They've got to take those games deadly seriously, because that's what we all want and it's what will matter next season. These players need to believe that they are a WSL side who just happens to have the inconvenience of playing in the Championship for a year, and they've got to graft within that. They've got to work. They can't be arrogant with that, but having that belief and that confidence is really, really important. And those players will want to test themselves. So the manager couldn't make 11 changes for any one of a variety of reasons. She had to go strong against City, knowing that Liverpool were going to run and run against City to stay in the game. So of course then it's hard to as the game wears on against Sheffield United. And, you know, I think it ends up being, you know, a really, really strong week for Liverpool. Despite the 3-0 against Manchester City, they stayed in that game and they come out of it with exactly what they want. And huge credit to both manager and players for that.
And Neil, sorry, John, I was just going to say, it's really interesting that you brought up that Conti Cup game, because in that post-match interview from Vicky, she did say that they used that Manchester City game as a training game to work on set pieces and defending set pieces ahead of the Sheffield United game, which I thought was really interesting, because they defended really, really well in set pieces, obviously against Sheffield United on Sunday. And
against Manchester City, frankly, Emma.
And against Manchester City, massively, yeah, I agree. So she pointed that out as something that they'd basically spoken about before the City game and said, we will not concede a goal from a set piece. And that was why she was so happy to keep a clean sheet on Sunday, because that was something that they had set at the beginning of the week as a goal.
Yeah, I mean, just last little thing on it from me, John, that game, you know, we were anxious watching it and it was very tense. And, you know, every time you look at the clock, you feel like 5 minutes have passed and only 2 minutes have passed. But the thing I will point out is that bar a mini flurry between sort of 72 and 77, the goalkeeper makes two good saves over the course of the 90 minutes. She makes one good save in that period and there's another chance. But there isn't actually another Sheffield United chance. There isn't another decent shot on target. There's nothing else for Rachel Laws to deal with. And I think that'll please the manager as well. And just because when you're in your feelings and your emotions watching a game, as we most definitely were watching that one, you know, you miss that at times. You feel like it's all going badly wrong. But actually, Liverpool are controlling the last 15 minutes of that game. And the substitute that brings more on is a really good shout. The 6 minutes of added time and we're all like, where's that come from? But actually, Sheffield United make very little of it.
Yeah. Absolutely. Okay, we'll move on and we'll do a bit of a season review, and we're going to do some positives and some negatives. And so there's five of you, and so I've got five options. So we're going to do one each. So the options I've gone for are Rachel Furness, Vinciola Babadeji, I'm estimating myself Babadeji, the centre-half partnership, the two goalkeepers, or anything else if you don't like mine. Joe is our newest friend, so Joe gets the pick first. So Joe, you can have Furness, Babadeji, centre-half partnership, the two goalkeepers, or anything else.
I'm going to go with the goalkeepers. To be honest, I didn't really watch Liverpool playing when Rachel Laws was playing with us last, so I didn't really know much about her when she joined us again this season. But so far, I think she's been outstanding. And Riley Foster, our number 13, outstanding again in the Conti Cup games. She's had two games now. The game against Man United, you know, we went 1-0 down at the start, and I was thinking, oh, she's, you know, I hope she doesn't have a bad game. And it doesn't, with it being her debut game, I thought, I don't want it to like knock her confidence. But some outstanding saves in that game as well. And then obviously we won that game 3-1. I think she played brilliantly. I just can't wait for the rest of the season to see how they carry on with that.
It makes a big difference, doesn't it, Joe? Because they struggled in that position last season, and there was obviously, you know, it's almost the year today to the game at Anfield where playing against Everton, they actually played well, but it's a goalkeeping mistake that it costs us. And, you know, having someone dependable back there, you can see what it does to the defence. And the fact that there's two of them just feels like almost an embarrassment of riches.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's one of them. Like, you know, we lost some games last season and there was quite a few goals in it. Whereas this season, you know, we've only lost one game 1-0. We've drew a couple of games and it's one of them that there's not much of a goal difference between the scores at the end of the game. So, you know, hats off to the goalkeepers for, you know, picking themselves up and actually continuing that and just making sure that they're there when the ball's coming at them.
Okay, I'll go with Philippa next. So you have remaining, and this has proved that me and Neil will turn anything into a game show. Babadeji, centre half partnership, Rachel Furness, or anything else?
I'm going to go with anything else. Anything else? I want to talk about the manager.
Okay.
I think there's been quite a lot of negativity surrounding both the club and I think Vicky Jepson about whether or not, you know, she was good enough to be the manager of Liverpool. You know, the results last season, I think people pointed at that, the fact that they got relegated and everybody just looked at the manager. Obviously, you had the lack of investment as well, that everybody's also talked about. But I think that she's had some real positives this season. I think she's, some of the tactical nous that she's shown in games this season, I think has been something that has answered a lot of questions for myself. You know, the Man United game where she just played an absolute blinder for that game. To get the players, I think this is the thing that stood out for me more than anything, is to get the players after such a disappointing season last season, the fact that they got relegated, to turn all of that around and to get them to believe in themselves and to get them winning games, I think has been absolutely huge, especially after that first game. You know, we spoke about it before, to concede a goal, you know, in the last 5 minutes of the first game, you could see how disappointed the players were. And I was really concerned that that would then impact on the rest of the games throughout the season. And, you know, they then won four games on the back of that, including the game against Manchester United. And I think that speaks volumes about the coaching staff and about Vicky Jepson. And, you know, I think she deserves a lot of praise for what has actually happened this season. You know, it's not been an easy time for the club in general. I think the last 2 years has been probably the toughest. And I think for her to have taken on board all the criticism and all the flack that the club have had, and to basically get us into a position where you feel like we probably should and, you know, can actually get promoted is something that I wasn't sure at the end of last season, you know, whether or not I felt that was possible. And for me, she's been a big part of the reason why that we are able to do that. You know, the signings that she's made have been excellent. So Taylor Hines, for me, has been an outstanding signing at left back. Rachel Furness, who we've talked about before.
Hey, whoa, come on.
Whoa, somebody else said that. But, you know, it all comes into it. It's about signing the right players who's going to be on board with what you're trying to do. And I think, you know, keeping hold of a lot of the players who was with us last season, you know, I think it just speaks volumes about the manager and the fact that they believe in what she wants to do. And, you know, she obviously believes in them. And I think it's just been a real positive for me this season.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I think I've been really impressed by how she's sort of conducted herself. More sort of, because she's a coach and she's got a coaching background. And so you'd expected it to be sort of that style of sort of manager, really very training ground. Whereas actually, I think she's really grown into the role in terms of, you know, as a leader, and she's got, you know, developing a real sort of role. So yeah, very good. Anything else? Okay, we'll go to Leanne now. So Leanne, you still have Rachel Furness, Babadeji, or the centre-half partnership?
I'm going to go with Rachel Furness. I think it's, you know, it's been well documented how well she's done since she's come into the side. You know, people talk about goals, was, I know, the new player of the month for the championship in September, Liverpool's for October. But for me, it's much more than just her goals. I think the Man U game showed it, and Sheffield showed it as well. The way she leads the team. I know from the men's side, they posted a clip of Jordan Henderson and all the kind of shouting he's doing on the pitch, all the leading he's doing to those younger players. Rachel Furness is exactly the same. You probably don't see it as much because it's less kind of well shown or documented. But the way she influences the whole game, her kind of presence around the pitch, I mentioned it before, but the way, you know, she helps see out that Sheffield United game, she kicks it into the corner, she brings everyone up with her, and she kind of sucks them in right to the corner flag, and she just takes and alleviates the pressure away from the defence. I think it, as a leader and as a commander, that's someone you really need when you're fighting in such a tough league, trying to get back into the WSL. And you know, her goals kind of speak for themselves. We've seen headers, we've seen great shots from outside the box, we've seen little tap-ins, like poacher goal, for example. All the signings that Philippa mentioned there, you need a leader to be able to kind of set the tempo and show, you know, what's the right way to play, how the manager wants you to play, and she does exactly that.
Yeah, 100%. No, she's been absolutely fantastic. It's been a pleasure to watch it. Okay, I'll come to Neil now. You've got Babadeji. I'm really struggling with that tonight. I'm hungover. and the centre-half partnership to pick from.
I'm going to take the centre-half partnership. I think they've been... they've very much covered for one another, and they've shown a real ability to... You know, the one frustration remains the very early concession of the goal against Durham, going right the way back to the first game of the season. Because that day was the day where you got to sort of see this partnership beginning to blossom with one another. And how the sheer levels of commitment there. And that can, you know, at times, if you praise commitment, I think it can sound a bit like damning with faint praise, but it's more just a sheer sort of a bloody mindedness to get the job done. And that as I say, with that early Durham City exception, I think apart from that, they've really impressed me. And they've impressed despite at times, you know, the Manchester City game and the set-piece defending, as was referred to earlier on, is a really, really good example with the pair of them, with both Robe and Fahey, where the number of times they're winning headers against physically bigger opponents, you know, markedly bigger in that Manchester City game, absolutely launching themselves, arching their backs in order to be able to nod things away at the front and back post. And I think they've just genuinely impressed me in a way which, as I say, before the season started, it was flagged as a concern. It was flagged as something to watch. You know, I don't think either of them are entirely natural, but I think in the end, it's sort of suited in a really strange way that they've made this thing sort of together between them. And I've just it's been genuinely pleasing to watch them. But I think the other thing that they've also got, not least because they are ever so slightly converted into the position, the distribution's really good when it needs to be. And I think that that's made a massive difference in order being able to get Liverpool on the front foot at times in games. They're quite happy. And I think it's something which, you know, the sides we're coming up against, they're not prepared to take the risk of coming and pressing them a lot of the time. So they're able to pick passes a tiny little bit. And I think, for instance, one of the reasons why Hines, who I think is having it, you know, has really impressed me every game. But the number of times she gets a pass into a pass that says, go on, you can carry this now. The room's there for you. And I think that Taylor Hines has been excellent, but I think part of that is what she's got around her. And I think it's a huge encouragement because they're not getting beaten in the air. They're not getting beaten on the turn. Yes, there's the occasional scrappy goal that they concede, and as games are, as legs are going around them and all of that sort of stuff. But it's none of the obvious ways in which as a centre-half you can lose out. The manager, who Philippa rightly praised earlier, will be absolutely delighted with what she's getting out of the pair of them. And it's another sense of, you know, in terms of linking a lot of this up, talking about the manager, talking about the goalkeepers, talking about Rachel Furness. What you're actually talking about here is that it does seem to me like a remarkably sort of focused leadership group that Liverpool have got of everyone, every aspect of this, which has been mentioned so far. And the two central defenders deserve massive credit for that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been really impressed with Leon Robo. I've really liked him as a player for a while now, but I wasn't sure how the centre-half thing would work, but I think she's done excellent. And I agree with you about there's actually some benefits of having, you know, people in maybe a position that's not too natural for her. She tackles like a fullback at centre-half, and I really like that. That was useful. okay, so Emma, you're left with Vintola, but because of your commitment to bringing strawberry laces to the match, I will allow you to do anything else if you prefer.
Oh, well, you know what? I was going to basically use the centre-backs to talk about the entire back four and basically go in on Taylor Hines. So now that Neil's covered that, I will talk about Rinzola, because I have actually been really, really pleased with her progression. I was quite openly critical of her last season at the beginning of the season. I didn't think she was working hard enough off the ball. It's why she wasn't getting into teams. Vicky Jepson was quite open about this. Rinzola has reflected on this. You know, when she was playing, she was too much of a risk and she was too unreliable off the ball. And it, you know, it meant that her teammates had to kind of work twice as hard in midfield. From January onwards, especially after Rachel Furness arrived, she was working harder off the ball. It was like it was a mentality switch, and Rinzola just thought, you know what, I've got all of the ability here. If I just work harder than everyone else, I'll be 10 times better than everyone else. And she's done that this season. Her work rate on Sunday was incredible. She was tracking back, she was winning tackles, she was making interceptions.
Yeah.
She was being direct at attacking fullback. She was using her pace at every opportunity. Again, she was one that Vicky Jepson highlighted post-match and said she was really impressed by. She got her England call up earlier this season when she went to camp, and I went down to St. George's Park and I got to see her, and you know, I wished her good luck before she went on the pitch because she did look nervous. And she was brilliant in that training game. She impressed people at England. So she's had a fantastic season. And you know, the thing with Rinzola is that she's always had the ability and the quality. It was always about her mentality and just keeping that concentration and that focus and working hard. And again, as Philip has said, I think Vicky and the staff have in particular worked really hard with Rins and got that out of her. And she just seems to be enjoying her football. And I think for as long as Rinzola's enjoying her football, that can only be a good thing for Liverpool, because when she's playing well, she's playing really, really well.
And we all got onto Emma claiming an assist there for Rinzola's good performance in England training, by the way.
Absolutely.
Okay, we'll move on to the negatives. And the first negative I've put, Philippa, is just that it's really tight at the top. And you know, there was obviously hope hopefully Liverpool will just run away with this league and go back. It's looking like it's going to be really, really tight. There's four teams with 1 point separating them, and yeah, it's hard.
It is really hard. I mean, I think it comes back to kind of a point that I've mentioned before, where I feel like the WSL for me should be bigger. I think that there's far too many gaps between games. You know, we're going to go into another one after the Everton game where we're not going to have a game again for 2 or 3 weeks. And you just lose all momentum that you've ever gained. You're starting again. And I think that's something that we saw against Lewis, that, you know, we kind of lost the kind of feel that we had before that international break. You know, we were rusty in that game for me. And I think the fact that it is so tight, it kind of makes me feel like you could have 16 teams in the WSL. There is literally 4 or 5 teams in the Championship who I think could more than, you know, hold their own in the Championship. I'm not saying that they did go on, they'd compete at the very top of it, but you know, they could be competitive in there. And it's something that, you know, I've spoken to my husband about quite a bit, where in the WSL, when you are struggling, it really is difficult to get out of that rut, because, you know, every other week you're playing somebody like Arsenal or you're playing Chelsea and you're getting hammered, and it's not a good feeling. Whereas if there's more teams in there that are at a similar level, you kind of end up with almost like another league in there. So teams will be winning games at some point against other sides. I'm not too sure what the FA's plan is. You know, there's 11 teams at the moment in the Championship. You know, and it is a good league. It's a scrappy league. It's a tight league. But then what is the aim? Is the aim just to have 4 or 5 teams at the top of the WSL who can go on and they can compete in the Champions League? Or is it that they want, you know, 2 leagues that are competitive throughout, because at the moment there's 4 or 5 teams in the WSL who are basically snapping up all of the best talent, and it's not giving other teams much of a shot. So whoever goes up out of the Championship, you know, I expect it to be really tough for them next season, unless they can somehow manage to to sign some of the better players. You know, but I mean, this league, it's hard work, isn't it? you feel like you've sat through about 180 minutes rather than 90 minutes every game. It is really, really tough. And I think that's a credit to all the sides, to be honest, that are in there. All of them feel like they've got a chance of coming up. And I think it's unfortunate, really, that there's only going to be one that's going to get to go up out of these sides. You know, there is an argument there as well that maybe it should be more than that. You know, even like in the rugby league, you know, if you look at the Super League in rugby league where they had the playoffs, you know, within there where the top eight sides would play against each other out of the top league, and then you would have the bottom four and then the top four out of the championship, so to speak, that would all play off against each other, and then they would see who would come up out of that. You know, maybe that's something they could look at as well. But I don't know. It's I just find it a little bit frustrating, I think, how few games there are, and then you'll end up with a week like we've just had where, you know, you have three games like back to back that are really, really tough. I don't know. Yeah, it's tight and it's hard work, and I'm feeling like I'm going through it myself and playing in the games. But there we go.
Given how tight it is then, Leanne, those drop points from winning positions will frustrate the manager. There's two games that we've drawn. We were leading in both of those, and you know, drop points are, you know, you don't want them to be the ones at the end of the season where you're thinking of only.
Yeah, definitely. I think, as we've said before, that's why the Sheffield result is so big, because it's not just the way that Liverpool get themselves in front so early on with a great goal. It's the way they see it out, the way they show, you know, that grit and determination that maybe has been lacking at the start of the season. I think there's also kind of a point to be made about the rustiness that's expected, because these players had been off for so long and just come back and had to play Durham, who are a good side. But I think, you know, the way they've developed throughout the season has been really impressive. When you're talking about points dropped from the next few games, I think that's going to be very apparent with the likes of Blackburn and Crystal Palace. Those are games Liverpool need to win if they're serious about getting promotion. It's great to be performing against the likes of Man U and Sheffield, but doing it against those kind of teams is exactly what Liverpool need to do now to take the next step. Philip has said there how tough the league is. I'm not necessarily surprised by that. I think it was similar last season. My mate plays for Villa, so they got promoted. She was happy, but she said how tough it was throughout. And I think, you know, as has been said, that's a credit to the league. But Liverpool, if they're serious about promotion, need to make sure they're doing it in games that they're the favourites, coming out and attacking and then pushing on for more goals. I think, you know, this side has a number of creators in it. Mel Lawley, we've touched on, really good player, really excites me. Her work off the ball is exceptional. But maybe needs to be a bit better in front of goal. I think there's a few in the squad that could take their chances a little bit more, and hopefully we see that in the next few games.
Yeah, I think that's fair, Joe, in terms of, you know, the team, you know, you look at the table and we're doing fine in terms of goals and in terms of relatively, but when you watch them, you just kind of think a couple more need to be chipping in. I don't think they've quite settled on a number nine yet in terms of, you know, someone up there who's going to sort of guarantee you goals. You know, they've rotated a little bit there. And I don't think any options really sort of convinced you yet. And that's what I'd like to see from the rest of the season or from the next few games, is there someone really to grab that number nine shirt and you know, make it their own.
Yeah, definitely. Like you say, when you look at the goal difference in the table, we are actually second best with goal difference, so we're not doing too bad. But yeah, absolutely, we haven't got that much consistency with anyone scoring goals apart from Finesse. Mm. You know, the game this weekend, we had a couple of really good chances. I think Testrup had a chance to score. Ashley Hodgson had a good shot on goal, which was saved as well. Even Lawley comes in now and again and has a couple of goes. And yeah, I think, yeah, we just need someone who's going to score more goals more often, really. You know, I'll say that the goal difference we've got at the moment is okay. We're not doing badly with it, but, you know, the more goals we can get, obviously, the better for us. if we can get a few more points on the table, then obviously it will make more of a difference going up in the table. And, you know, we don't want to be towards the top of the table towards the end of the season and struggling for that goal difference where it could make all the difference at the end.
Okay, just to finish up, I'm going to be really mean and ask you all whether you think Liverpool are going to win the league. And I'll start with Neil.
Yeah, but I think Leanne's right to flag the next three games. I think they will win the league. I think it was massive against Sheffield United. The next three, though, it has to be, you know, if I say it has to be nine, it's a ridiculous statement in that if it's seven, they could still go on and win the league. But the point is, I think that there's three games coming up against Blackburn, Crystal Palace and London City, where I think that it's really important that they take the advantage, the opportunity there to put the hammer down a little bit. I had a little look before this show and Palace's, you know, Palace have conceded the most goals, I think, in the division. I think that there's a couple of little things that were sort of talking around a tiny little bit. I think they could do with the Clark Threstrup thing's really interesting in that both have got bits of what they want, but you feel as though Vicky's sort of trying to tailor what she wants from it. It'd be nice if one of them sort of stakes a proper claim and sticks the ball in the back of the net a few times. All of that said, my answer is yes. It is yes. I think they will. I think they win the next three. And then when I think they win the next three, I think you then look around the table after 10 games played, and it wouldn't surprise me if they've then got a bit of a gap. And if they've then got a bit of a gap, the way this league's working, where everyone's just taking points off everyone else, will come very much in their favour. So I think they will. And I think they actually win it in the next block of games.
Am I going to win it?
Yeah. I said from the start of the season that they were going to win it. I never thought they should have got relegated. I think they would have stayed up if the league had been played. I've said that all summer. So I still think they're the best team in the Championship, best squad in the Championship. They've obviously not had Becky Jayne for most of the season so far. She's come back. They'll have Sophie Bradley Auckland, who was obviously the captain and, you know, one of our best defenders. They'll have her back, hopefully, in January. They'll have Amy Rogers and Kirsty Lennett back from injury before Christmas. So, you know, we're going to be strengthening over the next couple of weeks. And we've not really had a full squad, really, since the start of the season, because we've had a lot of injuries. You know, we forget about this. We talk about rotation at the back and in midfield. And, you know, we've got these players coming back. So, yeah, for me, I can't see anyone other than Liverpool. And to be honest, if Liverpool don't go up, then I think it's going to be a very tough summer for the staff.
Leanne, do you think Liverpool are going to win the league?
Yeah, I do. I think, as Neil said there, it's the next three games, and then you're going into Durham, and probably a draw's okay there. You take a win. I think we played well against them last time, but a draw, and you've taken 9 from 9 beforehand, and you're in a really, really good position. I think when you're looking, as Emma said, the depth of the squad here is massive. The way that the team are playing and the little elements they've shown in each individual game, they've shown a new kind of remit. They've shown their attacking qualities. They've shown their defensive qualities. They've shown they can grind out results. If they can piece that all together in these big performances and make sure they deal with the smaller teams, there's no reason why they can't get promoted.
Joe, are we going to win the league?
Absolutely. Definitely, yeah. I'm the same as Emma. I've said it all season. I think with running the supporters club as well, you know, there's so many fans behind the team. And I don't know if you saw the video I put out before the game on Saturday evening for all the team to see. And I'm hoping that, you know, not to say that was what got the win for us at the weekend.
Oh, Emma's doing it.
Yeah. It's not nailed down, take it.
If I can do stuff like that for the team every now and again with all the supporters behind us, then I'm absolutely going to do that for them. So, yeah, I think we're going to win, definitely.
Is right. Philippa, you've got to say yes now, to be honest with you.
I definitely think we will. I think, you know, the first half of the season, I think, was always going to be tougher than the second half of the season, in the sense that we've had a lot of away games, and I think two of our next three are away from home as well. So I feel like Neil says, you know, the next three games are massive. You know, you win those three, you go into the Durham game, and the pressure's on them. You know, and they're going to be the home team for that game. So, you know, I can't see if we win our next three games, I just can't see how we lose the grip on it from there. you know, we've then got Durham away, London Bees at home, which you would hope that we would win. They're bottom of the table at the moment. And then Leicester at home, which again is another massive game. But then after that, we've got a really, really good run up until Sheffield United away from home, second to last game. And you would like to think that, you know, anything out of that game, you know, could mean that we're promoted. And, you know, that would be really good, wouldn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. Thanks a lot to everyone for joining us on this. Just before we go, Joe, you mentioned the supporters club that you've set up and that you're doing a great job on. If people want to get involved or people want to, you know, find out a little bit more, how can they find you?
So we're on all social media at the moment, Facebook, Twitter and Instagram. If you just search Liverpool Women Supporters Club, or our at is at LFCWSC, so LFC Women Supporters Club. Just give us a search and we should come up, hopefully.
Yeah, absolutely. Nice one. Hope you've enjoyed that. I was going to mention, so next week, they are doing something to try and encourage people up and down the country and to engage more with women's football. It's called Women's Football Weekend. Love it. Four pieces of 8 hours that took. Absolute marketing. Women's Football Weekend, and it's this Saturday and Sunday. Obviously, last year, as part of this, Liverpool played at Anfield against Everton. Over 20,000 came, and it was a fantastic, you know, experience to see that many people in Anfield to watch a women's game, albeit unfortunately not a fantastic result, as we mentioned before. Obviously, they can't do that this time, but for the game against Blackburn Rovers that we've mentioned before, that we've trailed as a huge game, it will be live on LFC TV and LFC TV Go, as well as the club's YouTube channel. It'll also be screened live on the women's Facebook and Twitter pages. So really good opportunity to watch the women this weekend and do so, because as we've said, it's a really big game. Glad I remembered that. Thanks to everyone. Nice one.
Out the Reds. Sports Social Podcast Network.